Welcome to the Exec MBA podcast. I'm your host, Brett Twitty, and you are listening to a new episode. On this episode of the podcast, I'm excited to share my recent conversation with Sam Calloway and Pat Cerrone. Sam and Pat are both graduates from our Executive MBA class of 2020, and they stopped by the podcast to talk a little bit more about their background, what led them to Darden, as well as to share their advice for candidates who are in the military who want to use an MBA to move up within their organization. I think you're going to enjoy this conversation, so without further ado, here's my interview with Sam Calloway and Pat Cerrone. Sam, Pat, welcome to the podcast.
Thanks, Brett. Thanks for having us.
It's great to have you here. I'm glad we were able to get this set up. You're both very, very busy people. Lots going on. I think one time we tried to schedule it, and I think Pat may have been undersea somewhere out there in the world. So not easy to do a podcast from underwater. So I'm glad we were able to get this scheduled.
Us too. Yeah, we're definitely excited for the opportunity to share some of this stuff with you guys.
Absolutely. So first and foremost, Sam, how are you and your family doing at this time? How are things going?
We're doing great. I guess before we jump into it, we'll give a quick disclaimer. Since Pat and I are both active duty military, just that anything that we say today is not representative of the Navy or the DoD. These are all our own views and opinions. But to your question, thanks for asking. Family's doing well, healthy, fortunately, with all things considered. The Navy is adjusting to the COVID reality, and a lot of stuff has changed. You know, some telework initiatives that they've kind of worked out and working through that. So have a few exercises coming up that we're getting ready for. I'm on a staff right now with the Navy that runs integrated training. And so we're working on preparing for that. And my wife, Claire, she's also active duty, helicopter pilot as well. And so just kind of balancing both of those in the COVID environment, definitely been a challenge, but you know, kind of learned a lot from it. So, but thank you.
Absolutely. And Pat, how are you and your family doing?
We're doing well. Can't complain. Just got back from about 3 months in Hawaii for a training exercise out there. So did about a 2 week quarantine period on the front end when we first got there, and then a 2 week quarantine period on the back end. And, you know, that's kind of the standard protocol for the Navy now is, you know, any type of geographic transition, you're doing these 14-day chunk quarantine periods in between. So, you know, you can look at it either positively or negatively. And as long as you stay busy and, you know, stay active during those 14 days, then they tend to fly by.
It's interesting how we now have kind of adjusted to like just staying at home for 14 straight days or, you know, quarantining for 14 days. It's become an increment of time now that we all kind of think about it. I mean, I live in DC, traveled to North Carolina, one of the states on the list, have to quarantine for 14 days when you get back. It's just, I guess, where we are right now in the world. So thanks for carving out some time for the podcast to the both of you, and great to have you here. And I really want to credit both of you for coming to us with the idea for this conversation. We're going to talk about military climbers in specific. For those of you listening to the podcast, you don't know too much about it. Stay tuned. We'll reveal more. But Pat, I want to start with you. For our listeners, tell us a little bit more about who you are and your background and what you're doing currently.
So I'm an active duty naval officer, just like Sam. Sam's helo pilot. I tend to go under the water. I'm a submarine officer. So, you know, born and raised in Maryland, went to the Naval Academy there. I've served on two different submarines since then. And I had just wrapped up my my engineer officer tour on board one of the Kings Bay nuke subs before I moved up to Virginia. And then at that point, you know, was like, hey, I've got this burning desire to get an MBA. I feel like I'm going to have to get out of the Navy to do that. And, you know, a good friend of mine, you know, said, hey, have you checked out, you know, the University of Virginia's executive MBA program? You know, they're right up the road, basically. I said, no, I hadn't. And, you know, explored it and, you know, found that, you know, that was exactly the kind of program that would allow me to scratch that MBA itch, you know, further my own, you know, business, finance, sort of leadership development, but also be able to, you know, continue to serve in the Navy. So Darden was a great time. Got to meet guys like Sam and several others. And, you know, we just had a a blast, you know, immersing ourselves in the, you know, that the other side of the world that we don't typically see within the Navy. And sheesh, like, you know, 2 years flew by, and, you know, I feel like still progressing in the, you know, the military world. I'm just, you know, incredibly grateful for the opportunity to have, you know, studied alongside some men and women that, you know, come from other different backgrounds, other different, you know, cultures, other different, you know, employers, you know, and it's just, it was a tremendous opportunity.
And Sam, we've already, a little bit of a spoiler already. Everybody knows you're a helicopter pilot, but what was your background before you got to Darden, and what are you doing currently?
So originally from Orlando, Florida, also went to Naval Academy, class of 11. Went through flight school. It's about a 2-year program. And then I did my first tour out in San Diego for 4 years, deployable status, deployed in 2016. And then came to Norfolk for an instructor duty, shore duty, where you know, you take a break, you're not deployable. My wife was also in an instructor billet. So you have a little bit of time, and looking around, talking to some other people that had pursued graduate education. Actually, Dave Miller, class of 18, Darden MBA, EMBA, you know, encouraged me to take a look at Darden. So that's kind of the route that I got to Darden. And it was great because it's kind of at a crossroads. Aviators have a chance to get out of the Navy at 10 years. I was coming towards that decision. And so I felt completely unprepared for what the outside world would look like. And so Darden was a great exposure to that, to Pat's point on, you know, getting that exposure to people from different, you know, employers and fields was awesome. And then on the flip side, the Navy, at some point, if you do decide to stay in, it requires a graduate degree at some point in your 20-plus year career if you decide to stay longer. And so it did both of those things, expose me to the outside world and also, you know, make that happen. And like Pat said, I couldn't have been happier. I think I was maybe drawn to it. The consulting and the general management I thought were great fits already for military personnel, because we, you know, that problem solving skill set and the general management skill set, I felt like, you know, we had a good foundation in that. I did a class visit in 2017. I think I sat in on an ops class, which was great, and got to see the campus and just, you know, fell in love with the case method and the people there. But again, to echo another one of Pat's points, I think the people is what made the program so great. You know, going to India together with Pat, you know, all the times we spent in Charlottesville and then up in Roslyn, just, you know, priceless memories that we just had a great time in the program. So that was, you know, my path to Darden.
It's such a good point you make about the people and the experience. It's something that we emphasize. I think sometimes when people are looking at executive MBA programs or working professional programs, they imagine they might have to give all that up, right? It's convenient. Certainly it works with your schedule, but ultimately, are you going to get a community? Are you going to get, you know, the opportunity to build these relationships? Certainly at a place like Darden with the case method. One of the things that's on my mind, I'm preparing for a webinar we're doing later this week that's focused on the military student experience. And one of the things we hear from prospective students all the time is that people don't know what they don't know yet. And, you know, trying to figure out what they're going to contribute to the conversation. Sam, I'm sure you've talked to people in your organization about Darden and, you know, who are thinking about an MBA. What do you highlight for people who are kind of in that mode of trying to figure out what their next thing is and the value of an MBA there?
Right. Absolutely. That's a great question. I agree with you. As you know, as a military member, you jump into an MBA program and you have a bunch of people that have been in the private sector for a long time, and you really feel out of your depth a little bit, especially initially, especially with the technical aspect of it. But I would say to prospective military students that you have way more to offer than you think you do. And to just speak up as much as you can and have your classmates kind of work on it with you. Cause I remember a couple times classmates saying, "Hey, you have something to say, you know, please speak up," after having side conversations, you know, having breaks and stuff like that. So I think that, obviously be open when you go, you know, when you pursue a program like Darden, you know, I was kind of all over the place looking at consulting, looking at finance, just try to make as much time out of the experience as possible and get involved as much as you can. But yeah, realize that especially in the soft skill classes where you may have a little bit more experience based on how the Navy, you know, gives out leadership opportunities very early on in a career, you do have a lot to offer as a military member to those conversations. So I would just say, you know, speak up as much as possible.
And Pat, one of the things that struck me very early on when coming to Darden and starting to interview people who have been in the military is, to Sam's point, how much leadership opportunity people have had and how many people folks have managed. When you have these conversations with your friends or colleagues who may be thinking about an MBA, what do you stress with them in terms of thinking about going to an MBA program, things that they can do now potentially to help ease that transition?
Yeah, so with the majority of my colleagues, I really just highlight that, you know, when you serve on board, whether it's a submarine or a helicopter squadron or a ship, and you know you have these wonderful leadership opportunities to lead men and women into, you know, challenging situations, you know, these MBA programs, particularly, you know, Darden, represent a fantastic opportunity to sort of take that to the next level, to share those experiences with others, like Sam said, to refine those soft skills and then, you know, reinforce those soft skills with some incredibly valuable hard skills, you know, things like decision analysis, things like statistics, things like, you know, operations. You know, when you can meld those two worlds together, you know, I feel like we become such sharper individuals, you know, more capable of, you know, going back to the fleet or going back to a corporation and continuing to lead men and women more effectively and, you know, with more efficiency.
That's a good point. And the thing that we really underscore with all of our prospective students is that everyone has something to offer to that conversation. And you think about the structure of a Darden class, you're learning from everybody in the room, just like you're learning from the faculty member there. So Pat, I'm going to stick with you for this question as we think about, you know, sort of, again, this sort of question around adjusting to a business program. It's always on people's minds, you know, particularly as they know, okay, I'm getting started. What are some things I need to be thinking about now? What was the biggest adjustment for you as you started balancing, you know, work, life, and school?
I think the biggest adjustment wasn't necessarily the amount of work, because that, you know, I think that through the Navy, we've kind of learned some sort of workload management techniques and skills to sort of help make that easy. It was actually more so how to avoid biting off more than you can chew and jumping into everything, because you want to jump into everything. Like Sam mentioned, you know, the best part about the program is the opportunity to immerse yourself in a million different things, you know, everybody's different side project, or, you know, the current endeavors in the stock market and sort of tracking, you know, tracking your investments and trying to reposition, right? You know, all the different readings and supplemental readings, you really just want to immerse yourself into all of that and just absorb as much as possible. So trying to sort of find a way to, you know, pick your passions and follow your passions within the program, and stay, you know, stay busy and really enjoy the program and learn from the program as much as you possibly can, while not, you know, feeling like you're kind of, you know, going in 1,000 different directions. So that was probably the steepest adjustment, but overall it was a fun experience to sort of grow through that.
So prioritization, certainly something that we hear from folks a lot about here on the podcast, trying to figure out what's most important for you as you kind of see that there's so much you can possibly do here, but yet you have limited time. So Sam, for you, what was the biggest adjustment?
So I'll hit on the balance portion of your question. You know, it's a great time to do a program like this. I know a lot of people, not everyone goes at this time, you know, maybe early to mid 30s, where you're transitioning from maybe a subject matter expert to more of a mid-level manager area, to where you can't approach it like undergrad, where it's all on you and, you know, you're desiring perfection. That balance that you have to create because you're working full-time and you have a family, you really have to lean on other people. I can't stress enough how much I needed my learning team throughout the entire program, divvying up the work, bouncing ideas off of them, because otherwise you're just going to work yourself into the ground, and it's just not sustainable. And I think that it was just a great, you know, analog with schoolwork into your work environment as well, that you need to delegate, you need to trust other people to help you out and kind of build that team, because that's what's going to get you across the finish line. It's not going to be your individual effort. And that was a shock to me, because I like going to school. I like excelling in academics, and just kind of taking that off my shoulders and being like, no, there's much more to this program than just academics, I think was the biggest shock for me.
Was there a learning curve with all of that? We're working with our brand new first year students, right? So class of 2022 just got started. They're about to have their second weekend residency this weekend, or for those listening, we're recording this in early October. And needless to say, this is one of the more challenging quarters, quarter one. So did you get better? Did you realize at some point, oh my gosh, I can't do this all by myself?
Yeah, I think it was after, you know, maybe my DA exam Q1 that I'm going to need to rely on more people more often throughout the program. No, absolutely. There was definitely a curve. It didn't all come at once. I think maybe quarter four was probably about the time I hit my stride in the program. But yeah, it does take time to kind of give up that control of wanting to control every aspect of your life, including your grad program, and kind of rely on those teams and those classmates and their expertise and kind of go forward from there. But yeah, it was definitely a steep curve.
And we always tell folks it's probably a 2 or 3 quarter process. If you're curious about how much time that is, it's probably about 4 to 6 months. It is different than how people have done school previously. A lot of people, when they think of school, they think of themselves by themselves in a library studying from a book. Mm-hmm. And it's just completely different than that. So the context for today's conversation is really around career. And before we kind of get into this military climber portion of the conversation, let's set the stage a little bit. One of the things, you know, that may be a bit surprising to our listeners, although if they've been listening to the podcast for a while, they know that we should have a pretty diverse set of career aspirations in the executive MBA program. We think about students in being a few different in terms of a few different buckets, and these are certainly not exhaustive, but, you know, career switchers, people who want to change function or industry, you have climbers, people who want to move up within their existing organization, you have entrepreneurs, people who want to start their own business, you have what are called explorers, people who are potentially in more than one of these buckets. And one of the realities of the program is your aspiration can change and evolve over the course of your time in the program. And it oftentimes does for our students. So Pat, when you came into the program versus towards the end of the program, I'm curious, did you know exactly what you wanted to do, and did it stay constant through that 21 months?
It did not stay constant, Brett, you know, and so you kind of get in there, you're surrounded by all these amazing opportunities, these amazing people with, you know, diverse backgrounds, and you very quickly, you know, look around, you're like, wow, I want to do this, I want to do that, I want to do this. And, you know, for a while there, I certainly thought that, I was like, hey, I might be getting out of the Navy after this, and I would love to go jump in any one of these different career fields. You know, Darden is an excellent springboard to go follow my passion of business and finance. And, you know, that meanwhile, you're still working as an active duty naval officer. And that's, you know, going terrifically, right? So I'm like, you know, probably at the third quarter point, I'm like, you know, talking to Sam about this, you know, almost regularly. So, you know, I think I'm going to stick out this Navy thing. I'm enjoying it. I think there's, you know, a little bit more left in the tank there. And I think that the transition to the private sector world, you know, that opportunity will always be there. And so, you know, it was kind of at that point that I recognized I wanted to, you know, continue to try to climb within the military and, you know, use Darden to enhance that experience, make that a more effective climb, hopefully. And then also, you know, use Darden as an opportunity to, you know, continue to maintain a strong network and follow all the different other passions I have outside of the Navy simultaneously.
Was there a particular moment that change crystallized? You mentioned around quarter three, so about 6 months into the program or so. Was there a particular, you know, you realized, aha, you know, this is what I want to do?
I think it was probably, you know, FOMO, the, you know, fear of missing out was probably pretty, apparent early on. And once I realized that, you know, Darden sort of gives you the tools and the network to empower you to do whatever you want to do, whether it's entrepreneurship, you know, jump into a consulting career, whatever it might be. And once I realized that I didn't have to have that FOMO anymore, that I, you know, I felt equipped and I felt like I could kind of hang and compete. I said, I'm just going to stick out this Navy thing because I'm enjoying it too much right now. And I love leading, you know, sailors. And so at that point, you know, the FOMO went away and I recognized that I could continue to sort of piddle with a lot of these different passions while I serve in the military.
And Sam, you mentioned a few different career paths you were considering, and yet you're here on the Military Climbers episode. I wonder, you know, tell us a little bit more about the arc or evolution of your career interests.
So yeah, like I said, I think the consulting and general management probably got me in the door, but I think I've surprised myself. Once I was at Darden, some of the classes that I really enjoyed, the finance and the economics classes, I found out I not only enjoyed, but I was surprisingly decent at. And I was a political science major, not a great math background. So that was a surprise to my wife, who was an undergrad math major. So that kind of, I started going in that direction. You know, should I consider finance as a field? And talked to a lot of classmates, considered the career tracks. But then I think as I was going through the program, one of the great benefits, I think, from an IMBA program is that you get to apply what you're learning kind of real time. And there was some projects that I was working on in my last squadron where I was able to use what I was learning at Darden to great effect in my squadron. And once that was kind of the click in my mind of, well, everything that I'm learning here can translate back to the Navy and do really good things within the Navy. And not just projects, but relationally with the people that I was leading, with my peer group. I think that was probably the click for me. And it maybe came, you know, quarter five, quarter six, that it started looking like, hey, the Navy's going well. You know, the opportunities for my wife to stay in, she's looking at a full-time reservist program right now to kind of make the family life a little bit easier. That kind of made it a little bit more of an attractive option to stay in. And then just the whole, you know, pay it forward kind of mantra. You know, I've only been on one deployment. I've learned so much since then. It sounds crazy, but you know, to be able to go on another one and teach those young guys and lead those young sailors with all the things that I've learned, I think would be very rewarding. So like Pat said, I think there was a little bit left on the table still in the Navy world that I kind of wanted to accomplish before jumping to the private sector. And I just felt like that was a little bit of unfinished business.
It's interesting to hear both of you say that maybe at the outset you were really contemplating separating from the military. At least that's what I was hearing as you were talking through that career progression, or at least you were open to the idea. Did you consider that the MBA could be something that would be helpful to you in your current roles or help you advance within the military? Is that something that you had also considered as another path? Well, if I choose to stay in, the MBA will have an impact for me. Sam, is that something that was on your mind?
Absolutely. And there's actually a lot of, you know, current events going on in the Navy right now where they're starting to value education, especially in residence education, more, changing the evaluation system where it adds into that the evaluation component, the fact if you have a graduate degree. So there was definite, you know, benefit in that. But then future tour opportunities, there's opportunities within the Navy when you're not in a deploying unit to go work for Amazon or for LinkedIn or for all, you know, several major companies as a perspective gaining tour, and then bring that experience back to the Navy. It's called the SecNav Tours with Industry. And so doing something like Darden would hopefully set me up to do a tour like that where I could, you know, have that opportunity to continue that education and to use what I've learned in Darden and still be valuable to the Navy. So I think it's very, very, especially from such a great program as Darden to be able to do something like that.
And Pat, coming to you with the same question as you started off down your MBA path, did you consider, you know, your Darden experience as something that would be potentially helpful to you if you decided to stay in the Navy?
Before joining Darden, I had not considered that. And, I wasn't as forward thinking as I was on that front, but I did grow to realize, not after too long at Darden that, it has certainly helped me think much differently, and think differently than the peers I'm working alongside, whether it's on board, you know, submarine or in a staff working for, you know, the 3-star admiral who wants you to find some innovative way to solve a problem. It has been immensely impactful in terms of sort of developing a new perspective on how to approach problems, you know, how to work with others, how to motivate folks that work for you or that you're working for. There's been an incredible wealth of benefit that have come from that I've been able to enjoy at work. So
yeah, it's a great point. I mean, because I will say when y'all originally emailed about this topic, I had only ever thought about the MBA for people who were thinking about separating from the military. I mean, we certainly do have folks who choose to stay in, but most of the people I talk to are people who are at a certain inflection point in their time, in their service, where they are really thinking about setting up the next thing or opening doors, maybe 2 or 3 years down the line and kind of trying to line everything up. So this was very interesting to me. And Pat, I want to pick up on something that you just said about sort of changing your perspective or your approach. In what way do you think your approach is different now than it would have been, but for the Darden experience, or how has Darden helped you think about solving problems differently or approaching your work differently?
That's a great question, Brett. I think first and foremost is probably some of the soft classes from Darden, you know, the leadership classes and some of the experiences and the sort of reflection that were induced as a result of, you know, the conversations in those classes, whether it's conversations with a professor, conversations with one another, a lot of introspection about ourselves. I think primarily just being more comfortable in my own skin and understanding my own strengths and weaknesses a little bit better. Primarily that's been the major change that has, you know, influenced me to feel more perceptive in how I tackle, you know, my day-to-day job with the Navy.
And Sam, do you also find similarly, I mean, that Darden has shifted your approach to the work that you do? You mentioned it being surprised that you were able to sort of bring it back and apply it at your role, or finding ways that you could apply it to your work. Has Darden changed your approach to your work?
Absolutely. And I think I'll touch on the people aspect again. I think the biggest drive for me was seeing the drive in my fellow classmates. That was one of the main things that I brought back from the experience. Just the bias to challenge convention, to always want to innovate, just that questioning attitude, always looking to strive for, well, how can we do this better? And seeing all of our classmates approach all these problems like that, just that with that energy, I think was really inspiring, because, you know, you don't want to look like you're kind of falling behind. So you get competitive, and we're by the Navy makes us, I mean, we're really competitive people. So you want to strive to be like a lot of them. And I think another key piece of that is it's not just that these people are, that these classmates are striving for their own benefit. I think that there was a lot of striving with purpose. I mean, you look at our classmates, Tyson Bell, Tim Harvey with their project Alpeak Labs. You look at Katie Bolden or Alex Peterson in the nonprofit world. There's just so many people that use what they've learned at Darden and brought to Darden that energy. I think that it was just so infectious, and that is really what I've taken back to my work.
Yeah, it's a humbling thing to be on this side of it and just see all that people are doing. And I think people come out of this program with a sense, a sort of expanded sense of their own potential, what they're capable of, and put more on their plate typically than maybe they had prior to doing the program, just because they realize that they now can. One of the things that you know we're always trying to figure out is how to be helpful to military candidates who are early in the process, just beginning to research MBA programs. And are there things, when you sort of think back on your process, things that you wish people would have told you, any advice that you would share with them as they begin down this path or journey? Sam?
Like I said earlier, I think the class visit was a great experience for me. Sat in a class with somebody I knew. Find somebody that has a connection to the program, either a current student, and really connect with them and pick their brain. I think that's the best advice I have, because they're gonna tell you what the program's like, because it's changing. I mean, now everything's in Roslyn, even from how me and Pat entered the program. So they'll be able to give you the best advice on what it's like. I would say, go to the campus and sit in on a class, go to lunch, talk with people, stay after if you can, if you have that time. I think that was the hook for me for the program, was really seeing how the whole case method and all that works.
Yeah, we're in this world right now where things are more virtual. So we're eager to get class visits back up and running, but it might be a little while before we're able to do that. We know from our current students' feedback and alumni feedback that was a very impactful part of the decision. We are doing some mock classes right now. So if you're listening to this podcast and you're thinking, gosh, I really would love to participate in a class, just see what it looks like, you can come and actually be an active participant, not just an observer. So we will be doing mock classes, and hopefully things will improve here with COVID-19, and we'll be able to do class visits, but it'll take probably a little while for that to be the case. So Pat, any advice that you share with folks who are just trying to figure things out here, anything that you wish you would have known when you were a prospective student?
I think the one thing I wish I would have done before I jumped into the process was connected with some Darden alums, in similar situations as myself, maybe 4 or 5 years out, 4 or 5 years down the road. As luck would have it, right, I've met a lot of those folks in the time since, completing Darden and during Darden. But, prior to that point, it would have been pretty valuable, I think, for me to, see someone that's in my shoes that still wanted to, continue to kind of climb on the military side and lead sailors perform missions to the best of their ability. It would have been pretty valuable for me to sort of get their perspective on that going in. And that's actually something Sam and I have kind of admitted to one another that we'd like to take on, is trying to find a way, going backward, to sort of help with sort of to set up this network of folks, that are going to continue to stay, active in the Navy or the Air Force or Army, whatever branch they happen to be in, to be that, mentor resource for either potential students or current students.
Maybe a subgroup within the veteran executive students at Darden.
Yeah.
Student club.
Absolutely.
Were you active in that club? I'm a member of the LinkedIn group. I see, the number of people that are members of the group. Was it something that was a touch point for you during the program, Pat?
It was, our ambitions exceeded what our capabilities were based on time, but, Michelle Mullaney, your former Marine, was the president. I got to work alongside Michelle. She's a fantastic person to work with. She's just killing it in Philadelphia right now. I think primarily just getting the group together and talking about ideas and being a resource for one another was sort of where we kind of fell to our resting position. Moving forward, the advice that we passed to the class of 2021 was, start early, and the more social events you can do where you have these networking opportunities, and if you can find just one good thing that you can do to give back to either the class that that follows you or to the community itself, then you can consider yourselves having accomplished you know, what you set out to do?
Well, I think it's great to have ambition. And I always think executive MBA student organizations, they really do want to do a lot. And then, of course, there's the sort of brass tacks reality of like, we only have so much time. But the ambition's a really big part of it, right? Because you just by trying to push, you end up moving things forward. And so the Veteran Executive Students at Dartmouth are probably one of our oldest student organizations in the executive MBA program. And they will be co-hosting the webinar we're doing later this week. And so it's great to see these organizations have that kind of stickiness from year to year, you know, because of course it depends on leadership and students being engaged, but that group's been around for a few years. Sam, was it an important touch point for you during your experience, or has it been a source of community after the program?
I think maybe more the latter. I wish I had been, you know, more involved. But to, you know, to echo the leadership or what Pat said about the leadership, I think it was in great hands, and it's been a great networking piece since we've left. We've talked to Michelle, both of us, recently about some issues. So it's been a good touch point.
Yeah, and you've got a number of alumni and maybe even classmates down there in the Tidewater area. Do you keep up with those folks, Sam?
Well, so Tyler McCoy and I were in the same squadron. We've been friends for a long time. He actually deployed with my wife in San Diego. So we keep up with them quite a bit. Besides that, I mean, with COVID, it's been difficult to stay in touch, specifically in the area. But it has been good. I think Eric Tayo, a couple others have had some Zoom happy hour sessions since we graduated. So those have been some good times to reconnect, but definitely once everything lifts and relaxes, you know, definitely want to get in touch with some people in the local area.
Sam and I do have beer plans made. So
we do in the near future.
Well, that's exciting. Y'all don't just have to see each other here on the podcast via
exactly.
Zoom.
Right.
So, you know, I want to make sure we don't leave anything out there in this sort of military climber category. This is sort of the inspiration for this episode. I obviously love talking to both of you, but, you know, had you come on here to talk specifically about military climbers, people who want to advance their career within the military. Sam, any last words of advice for people in this category who are thinking about maybe doing an advanced degree and, you know, thinking about possibly an MBA, any things that you would share for those prospective students?
Absolutely. I think maybe frame the problem real quick. You know, it's interesting. You've got Pat, who's a submarine officer, you know, part of the nuclear triad. And then you have me, a helicopter pilot, more combat logistics, you know, very wide, you know, ends of the spectrum of what the Navy can offer. And within that spectrum, there's just so many challenges with, you know, the funding of the military, projects of the military, modernization, retention, and something like a place like Darden, and I think specifically Darden, just has a lot to offer to take on those challenges if you do decide to stay in the military, and could be a reason to decide to stay in the military. You know, and going back to what I said about the people that we interacted with while and the classmates that we had, just having that questioning attitude, you know, the desire to innovate and to lead sailors and that innovation, I think is so key and so important, you know, as a nation and specifically for the Navy. So I think going forward, you know, if you do have a desire to stay in the military, not just the Navy, you know, reach out to Pat or to me. You know, we want to establish that network of encouraging people to climb if they choose to do so, or supporting them, you know, obviously if they decide to switch and get out. So really, I think just keep the network up, reach out to us. We want to be that mentorship link for somebody who has decided to stay within the Navy.
Yeah, it's an interesting point, right? There, you know, Navy's like any other organization. Things they got to work on, and military, you know, it's like any other organization. Opportunities for improvement, innovation, and, you know, how do you create a framework for doing that work? Pat, any last suggestions, advice for people who are listening to this, maybe possibly considering that military climber path? Anything you might highlight?
You know, one thing worth highlighting, Brad, is, you know, with Darden, you know, right there in Charlottesville and in Arlington, and you know the heavy concentration of you know, military jobs all throughout the DC, Maryland, Virginia area. You know, Darden is it presents a pretty awesome opportunity for someone who wouldn't otherwise think about the value of an MBA program, and who, you know, thinks that they're maybe going to check their box for their grad ed by doing some, you know, online degree at some university where, you know, they're not really enjoying what they do and they're not really coming away with anything meaningful. The Darden, on the other hand, like Sam and I both have maintained here, you know, equipped us with some tools that we never really knew were really even out there. And, you know, like I said, I feel like I can, you know, comfortably transition to the private sector whenever I'm ready. But at the same time, you know, I now have the confidence to tackle, you know, the remaining problems and challenges that the military still confronts on a daily basis, you know, armed a little bit more effectively now, you know, with the network and experience and the you know, the things I've learned from the Darden community.
It's a great point. I mean, there, if you're talking about, you know, needing a graduate degree, an advanced degree, it's a broad universe of possibilities out there to consider. You sort of made the case just now for an MBA or why MBA creates opportunity, like versatility. Is that what you think, Pat, when you think about why an MBA?
Versatility, 100%. And the perception change that you can develop as a result of that, as a result of thinking differently, approaching problems differently, talking out issues and, you know, wicked problems, all your different courses, you know, working through those as a team, because as Sam mentioned, you can't get through Darden without, you know, having a strong team. Then, you know, you become more armed and more versatile to tackle those issues, you know, in an arena like the military.
And Sam, same question for you. Not here to pick on any other graduate degrees, but this is a pro MBA podcast. For you, what would be the sort of pitch as to why someone in that position, again, thinking about advancing within the military, would ultimately say an MBA is the right path for me?
You know, I think the network premium is it for me, you know, and specifically the Darden network premium. You know, the people that you meet and that you establish those connections with, I think is the reason. And obviously you're going to learn a lot of great stuff with the classes. The faculty is great, you know, number one for several years. But it's that network is the main selling point that I would pitch, to future MBA students.
So Sam and Pat, I want to come to you with a question that's been on my mind as we've talked here a little bit. You know, we may have some people who are listening to this podcast saying, all right, I'm a military climber, I'm sold on an MBA. But at the same time, you know, I'm going to go get an MBA. What if I want to do something that is sort of outside of the military? Can I do that and be in the military at the same time? Can I have a startup? You know, is it possible to do multiple things? Sam, what would you say to that person sort of thinking, you know, about potentially having an entrepreneurial endeavor on the side?
I would say absolutely. And, you know, we didn't necessarily see it in the military climber context, but there were plenty of classmates of ours that did both during our time at Darden are still starting those companies right now. And with how easy it is to start companies and to keep them going, I think you can absolutely scratch that itch and keep those skills refined going forward while you're still within the military. And it makes it so much easier when you have, you know, people like Pat who are of like mind and want to do those projects to kind of stay fresh.
And Pat, what do you say to that person? I mean, of course, you've got this great network of people, right, that you can tap into, classmates you've connected with who have skill sets and backgrounds. Do you agree with Sam that, yes, this sort of side hustle aspect is very real and something that's out there for military climbers?
Yeah, absolutely. Couldn't agree with Sam more. You know, Darden, one fantastic thing that they do is, you know, they help you develop a muscle for building things. And that's a muscle that, you know, you never really want to let atrophy. And, you know, just staying current with, you know, your group of friends or connections that you've made through Darden or, you know, friends of friends. It's just been a tremendous opportunity to stay active with the business and finance, you know, passions that I still have, all the while being able to, you know, put a uniform on every day and go into work and, you know, go solve big problems, hopefully, for the armed forces.
Well, this does beg the question. We're talking about side hustles. We're talking about entrepreneurial endeavors. Sam, is this something that's on your mind? Are you thinking about potentially doing something?
It is now. What that is, I'm not quite sure yet. I think Pat and I are gonna, in our session, you know, hopefully in the next week or two, we're gonna brainstorm some ideas. I know he's got something maybe on his mind, but we have bounced some ideas before, but really we just want to do something, and we'll kind of let it play out to exactly what that is.
Well, that's how it goes, right? You just you get a group of people together and you brainstorm. I think this is what design thinking is all about. So there you go. Something you can absolutely learn at Darden, by the way. Well, thank you both for your time. And we've covered a lot of ground here. Certainly learned a ton. And I'm sure our podcast listeners can say the same. So thank you both for your time. It's great seeing you again, as always. And I hope you and your families stay safe and healthy during this time.
Thanks, Brett. Really appreciate it.
Likewise. Thank you, Brett. Take care.
And that was my interview with Sam Calloway and Pat Cerrone, two graduates from our Executive MBA class of 2020. As always, if you have any comments, suggestions, requests, anything you'd like for us to cover here on the podcast, we're all ears. We can be reached at exec, that's EXEC, MBA at darden.virginia.edu. Until next time, stay safe, be well, and thanks for listening.